The Queen's Jewish Link presents the Jewish Living Podcast, the show that examines the many facets of Orthodox Jewish life. Here's your host, Izzo Zwirin.
I don't know if you've heard, but here in America, we have a new president. I know we say this every 4 years, but this last election was probably the most contentious one of my lifetime. While there are a lot of people out there trying to make sense of it all, I'd like to know what's going on in our own community. That's why we invited back one of our former guests who studied the voting habits of from Jews in the last election.
My name is Mark Trencher, and I run Nishma Research.
Mark and I will discuss where Biden and Trump voters in the Orthodox community varied in their thinking. And we'll look to see if there's any common ground we share, an increasingly difficult thing to find. One more thing, this interview was recorded back in December, so neither the survey nor the subsequent interview discuss any events that happened since then. So Mark, welcome back. Thank you for joining us again for this week's episode. I'd like to ask if you can give a little bit of a rundown. I know people can go back and listen to the original time that you were on the show, but if you can give a little bit of a rundown as to what Nishma Research is, maybe a little bit of the beginnings, its goals, and a few notable projects you've worked on, that I think could give people a little bit more context as to what we're going to be talking about today.
Sure. Thank you very much. So as background, I grew up in the modern Orthodox community. I grew up in Flatbush. I live in West Hartford, Connecticut. I worked all my life in the business world, in insurance and finance. And one of the things I did a lot of in my work career was research, surveys, focus groups, that kind of stuff. I retired in 2015. And so what am I going to do when I retire? Besides watching movies on Netflix, I decided I wanted to give something back to the community. And I know that there's a lot of, in the community, there's a lot of questions asked. And we make a lot of important decisions. I always felt that there really was not enough research done into what people are thinking. So in other words, it's important to understand what people are thinking and take that into account so that organizations, schools, day schools, yeshivas, shuls, and even our national organizations can all do research. I decided to do research for the Jewish community. Most of it I fund myself. And really, this is both the retirement project for me, and it's also a way for me to give back something to the Jewish community. And we've done a bunch of surveys of shuls, individual shuls and organizations. But with more pride, I point to the fact that we've done 7 broad communal surveys. Each one was on issues that have never been discussed in the past. And we've had over 12,000 people participating in our surveys. And people find it very interesting. I should also mention everything is available, publicly available online, free, downloadable, nishmaresearch.com. So that's what I've been doing for the last 5 years.
All right. So let's get into the survey you most recently conducted at the time of recording. The study is titled Priorities of Trump Voters versus Biden Voters in the Orthodox Jewish Community, a Post-Election Analysis. So first of all, let's get a couple of things out of the way before we dive into the actual results of this study. First of all, why study this particular topic?
Okay, so I really had never done any research in politics. People kept asking me questions about it. You know, I did the survey of people who left Orthodoxy off the Derech. I did the very broad survey of the challenges of modern Orthodoxy and how we confront them. In early 2020, in January 2020, almost a year ago, I finally did a survey of the communal attitudes towards politics. In other words, are people, the people in the community, and the focus was mainly on modern Orthodox, but also the Haredi world, Yeshivish and Hasidic. Do people lean towards Republican? Do they lean towards Democrat? How did they vote in 2016? How do they plan to vote? What are the issues important to them, Israel and all the other issues? So I did that survey. There was a lot of reaction to it. We found that in the Haredi world, Hasidic and Yeshivish, there was a very, very strong tendency towards people identifying as Republican. A very high percentage said that they were planning to vote for Trump. In the modern Orthodox world, it was more evenly split. I got a lot of pushback. People said, no. Even in the modern Orthodox world, it's very strongly for Trump. The survey showed it being closer to 50-50. And people called me and said, you know, in my shul, everybody is for Trump. And I pointed out that, you know, each shul has its own personal characteristics, depending on the neighborhood and depending on whether it's a city that has a lot of shuls. Shuls take on their own dynamic and demographic. But, you know, so I'm pretty convinced that in the modern Orthodox world, it is, or at least it was, pretty evenly split. Of course, since then, we've had some dynamic events. You've had the deals with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and perhaps Sudan. And so I will not argue with those who say that even within the modern Orthodox world, there was a leaning towards Trump. There's never really been a large scale survey because we're such a small community. But I think you can probably say that it's in the Haredi world, it's strongly, strongly predominantly pro-Trump. In the modern Orthodox world, it's closer to 50-50. Whether it's 50-50 or 60-40, we don't know. So I did that survey. And then after the election, I decided, you know, there's so much machlokas and so much disagreement within the community. I sent out emails to shul saying, look, what is, this was in late October, what will be, one thing is for sure, our Jewish community is going to have to come together at some point because there's just too much strife. You know, we've had strife in the Orthodox world around other issues, but not really political so much. It was just another thing dividing the community. So I said, you know, I want to do a survey. I'm calling it Come Together 2020. Whatever will be, we have to come together. And the goal of the survey, so this survey is not a poll. People point at the survey and say, well, the survey says X percent voted for Trump, Y percent for Biden. I say, no, that's not the purpose of a survey. And you can't really use the numbers that way. The purpose of this survey was to get a significant number of people who said, I am Orthodox and I voted for Trump. And then to get a significant number of people who said, I am Orthodox and I voted for Biden. And then to ask them, why did you vote the way you did? And to compare them. And in the end, see where can we come together? So we all agree that this is important. On these issues, we don't agree. So we can move forward from there. We can come together and advocate for things that are important to us.
Right. So we're pointing out that this is not a survey amongst an exit survey of Orthodox exactly. Jews to see who voted for who. It is more of you voted for so-and-so. Why did you vote for so-and-so? Makes sense.
Exactly.
All right. So we're not going to get into kind of how the survey was built. People can go look at the survey itself, at the results. We're going to talk about more of the results and a little bit of the analysis of the results. So let's start very basic, very simple. What were some of the things that were important to Trump voters? What were some of the things that were important to Biden voters?
So we did come up with a list of 35 issues. It's a long list. Things that might affect the vote. We did this through interviews. I spoke to people. What were the things that affected your vote? So we have a fairly long list. And we asked people the question. We said, okay, so you voted for President Donald Trump or you voted for former Vice President Joe Biden. Here's a list. For each of these items on this list, tell us whether, I'll start, for example, anti-Semitism. Was it among your most critical factors in causing you to vote the way you did? Or was it quite important or somewhat important or not so important? They had four choices. And the goal was, by giving them four choices, the goal was that we could look at the ones that they said were the most among the most critical factors and see which are the most critical factors. Now, one thing that's very important, which I'm going to mention, for example, Israel. So I'll tell you right off the top, because I want to go back and explain what this is. So among the people who voted for Trump, 80% said that Israel was among their most critical factors. That was number one on the list. And then if you look at the list of what the people who voted for Biden said, you'll see that about 30% said Israel was among their most critical factors. And people say to me, Mark or Moshe, depending on our relationship, they say, Mark, so obviously Trump voters care about Israel and Biden voters don't really care about Israel. Okay, you can't really come to that conclusion. You know, when we did a survey in 2017, we did find that when we asked people, how strong is your emotional connection to Israel? It is true that among liberal modern Orthodox Jews, it was somewhere in the low 70s said to have a very strong connection, kesher, to Israel. When you go to the more right-leaning, to the more right being, the more yeshivish modern Orthodox. It was in the 80s. So the range was from the 70s to the 80s. So everyone feels Israel. So you could say that, yes, there is a connection between political liberalism and connection to Israel. But it's not like the 80% Trump voters and 30% Biden voters. The reason why is, remember the question we asked. We didn't ask people, how important is Israel to you? We asked, you voted for Biden. Now, here's a list of things. Which are the things that were most important to you in voting for Biden? And when you look at that list, you'll see that the coronavirus pandemic, with about 80%, was number one on the Biden list. Aha. So where was the coronavirus pandemic among Trump voters? 12%. 12%. So here we see the differences. We see the differences. We're asking, remember, we're asking people why you voted the way you did. You know, if we asked a group of people who voted for Trump, how important is it to you that the country deals with the coronavirus pandemic? I don't know whether the answer would be 12%. It would probably be higher than that. So we have to remember that this is the question we asked, and we found huge differences. So you know, I called my survey "Come Together." And as I started looking at the results, I renamed it "Can We Come Together?" And if you look at the report, you see that I don't even have that on the report itself. The report is now kind of very clinically titled a post-election survey or something like that, whatever.
Right.
Because out of the 35 issues, for 26 of the 35, there were huge differences between what the Trump voter said and what the Biden voter said. So when I say huge, I mean statistically significant outside the margin of error. And there's just a lot of them. There were only a handful of issues where Biden voters and Trump voters said the same thing. So it's a big, huge difference between the two groups.
Right. So I want to go through a couple of the areas where we disagree as a community and agree. But before that, I want to ask you couple of things. First of all, what informs what? So for instance, do Trump voters really not care about, let's say, something like liking a candidate as a person? Or do they just say that type of thing doesn't matter because it's Trump? Meaning, are they answering the questions in a way that a Trump voter should answer a question? Or are they answering the questions in the way that they feel, and then that reflects on the president or the president-elect?
I think they're answering the question honestly. So only 8% said I voted for Trump because I like him as a candidate. We didn't include dislike as a candidate as a factor, but I will tell you this: we did ask people who voted for Trump. We asked them, "Was your vote? You voted for Trump. Were you voting totally for Trump, or were you voting more against Biden? Because you know, people said Biden is cognitively impaired." He's too liberal. The liberal party is going to take over. He's going to be a shadow president. So there's reasons. And people said, most people who voted for Trump said, no, my vote was for Trump.
Right.
And that's important because when we asked the same question about Biden voters, more of the Biden voters said, no, my vote was anti-Trump.
Right.
So Biden did not have that much of a positive attraction. A lot of his vote was the anti-Trump vote. So
then the next question to follow that would be, is that so much different than the general population? Are the Trump and Biden voters in the modern Orthodox population that much different than America? Because I'm looking at a lot of these things, and we'll go into each one individually. It seems like this would be, because I haven't seen the data backing me up, it seems like these would be the answers given by generic Trump voter and generic Biden voter.
Yeah, that's true. You know, except for the fact that Israel is a factor in the Jewish
community.
Except
Israel, anti-Semitism, yeah, those types of things.
Yeah, Israel and Semitism. But, you know, so the question is, do Trump voters look the other way? Do they excuse things that Biden voters, there are aspects of Trump that Biden voters couldn't tolerate. Biden voters can't excuse them. There's no way they can vote for Trump. Do the Trump voters look the other way? I think, if you look at the comments, and I also would mention that in the report and also online, you can see the comments people made. So that's definitely a factor, because a lot of people said, look, he's not perfect. I understand that, but he's done so many good things that I'm going to vote for him. And you've even seen that in the media. You've even seen some of the rebbeim of the community say, his behaviors, they are what they are. He's a rich person. We understand that people like that sometimes behave differently from your average, from the average balabatim. But he's good. He's good for the Jews. He's good for Israel. So I think that definitely is a factor. There's no doubt in my mind that for both candidates in the comments you see negative. So Trump voters very often said a few of the negative things about Biden. The main two being he's getting up there in the years. He's not really functional. People use words like senile, but also a lot of fear of the Democratic Party. Has the Democratic Party become the home of, you have the gang, whatever they're called, the
squad.
The squad, is that what they're called?
They're called the squad.
The squad, and is that indicative of the parties moving towards, too far to the left and anti-Israelism? And then, of course, Biden voters say, no, Biden is a moderate. But so there are the negatives. I find in the people who voted for Biden, you do hear more anti-Trump negatives in their comments. Trump is this. I couldn't vote for him. You do hear a lot of that in the comments.
All right, so let's talk. I'm going to divide it. Things that were into three different ways. Things that were very important to Trump voters and not so important to Biden voters. Things that were important to Biden voters, not important to Trump voters. And things that we kind of agreed on. So let's start with things important to Biden voters. You already spoke about coronavirus, so I'm not going to go further with that. Bringing the country together was a very important area for Biden voters, which is a little surprising to me. That I would have imagined that's something that every voter should want. It just seems like because of the indecision in America right now, that's one of those things that I was worried about, that Trump voters were answering as it relates to the election. But maybe in their hearts, they're like, actually, that's probably something that I'm more interested in. It seems like it was over 50% for Biden voters and just around 10% for Trump voters on that scale. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I think the Biden voters bringing the country together was way up on the list, and that is one of their, they see the country as having become more separated, more fragmented, more polarized. So that's that's definitely their goal. Trump voters, do they see that as a goal? No, you're right. Fewer than 10% said that's a reason for voting for Trump. That was after the coronavirus pandemic, that was the second biggest area which is much more important to Biden voters than Trump voters.
So let me just run down a couple of the other ones that were important to Biden voters. Healthcare, that's not a surprise. Climate change, race inequality and race relations, and how decisions are made. Those were very important to, much more important to Biden voters than they were to Trump voters. Right. Let's go on the other side of the spectrum to Trump voters, areas of importance to them versus not so much of areas of issue to Biden voters. We already mentioned Israel. We're not going to go into that. Higher on the list was Iran, which also came as a surprise. I would imagine that Iran should be a point of emphasis for both sides. Trump voters were in the high 50s, whereas Biden voters were around 10%. I'm fairly surprised that ended up being the result.
That is a huge difference. And they have huge, and that's an area of huge differences in their policies. Biden has talked about getting back into the Iran nuclear deal. So a Biden voter voted for Biden, and Iran was not a factor. Why would Iran not be a factor? I mean, if you're voting for Biden and he's pledged to get back into the deal, then is that a given? Maybe it means the person's in favor of that. But you're right. It is to me. It's kind of an oddity.
Right.
It's a major policy shift that's going to happen if the candidate you're voting for gets elected, and you're saying it wasn't a factor in your vote.
Right. That's another one of those things where I'm wondering if people were answering it based on the fact that it was Biden versus the fact that it's just an issue on its own. In general, these types of surveys tend to be a way for people who answer the surveys to qualify their reasoning instead of actually giving you what their thoughts are, which is fine. I get it. That all surveys have limitations. Other areas, and this one really shocked me, anti-Semitism, just under 40% for Trump voters, but in the high teens for Biden voters. And the reason that one really shocks me is because for a long time we've heard about Trump having anti-Semitic tendencies. And I know that Trump defenders will be like, oh, his daughter converted to Judaism, his several Jewish grandchildren, he made all these Israel deals. He made a lot of protections for anti-Semitism on campus. Fine, but those on the those who voted for Biden were probably more in the camp of Donald Trump is anti-Semitic. So it shocks me how little anti-Semitism played a role in the Biden voter.
Right. So to me, I look at the other issue that I look at, which had a very big difference, is terrorism. So right. Almost 60% of Trump voters said they're voting for Trump because of terrorism, compared to 13% of Biden voters who say, the Biden voters might say, hey, look at the statistics. I mean, your chance of getting into a accident on the BQE is 100 times higher than your chance of being affected by terrorism. I think those two are linked by fear. So I would say that that part of Trump's message, and I see this, I have Facebook friends who are very strongly pro Biden and very strongly pro Trump, and I look at their postings and their messages, and I think that in the people who are for Trump, one of the areas he's been successful is as the protector. He's the one who's going to protect us and save us, and there are fears out there. I have relatives who talk about another issue, which is high up on the list, which is healthcare, about Trump will protect us from socialized medicine. So I think the anti-Semitism is not really a criticism of Trump and Charlottesville and all that kind of stuff. It's people who are afraid, people living in the Jewish community who are afraid of anti-Semitism, and they're afraid of terrorism, and they view Biden as not the person who's going to protect them from first of all, they view it as a legitimate fear, as something to be afraid of, as serious. And I'm not saying it's not, but I am saying that using it as a cudgel, as a way to get people to vote for him as a person who's going to protect them, I think that was a factor.
Okay, let's go to the things that people agree on. Now, obviously, they agree on the importance of the issue, but not necessarily how that manifests itself. So, for instance, both Biden and Trump voters thought that the most important thing together was our nation's future. Trump voters, a little bit over 60%, Biden voters hovering around 70%. The Supreme Court also was a high grossing factor on either side, experience and accomplishments. And then you have a lot of things that were equally unimportant. You had religious leaders, abortion, trade, stock market, federal deficit, education, both in early education and in higher education. All those things grossed under 20% on both sides. So if you wanted to pick on any of those things or a different one that seems to be where people are agreeing.
Sure. So I would say a couple of things. One is I would say some of these things are interpretive. So when we say his experience and accomplishments, the person who said, I'm voting for Trump says, yeah, I'm voting for him because he was a successful businessman. He had a vision political, which he accomplished. He was elected. He's an accomplished person. The Biden voters would say the opposite about Trump. So in other words, people are interpreting this in the lens of their candidate. But as far as a lot of these issues, so I asked myself a question, you know, why, for example, when we talk about trade agreements, why did 20% of Trump voters say that trade agreements are among the most critical factors?
It's a little bit under 20%. It was like 17%.
Trade agreement. And the thing I wonder about is I talk to friends of mine on both sides. I try to keep friends on both sides, which is hard, but I aim to do that. And you know, so you know, I walk to shul with people, and on Shabbos. And depending who I'm talking to, it's almost as if I'm watching MSNBC or Fox News. Because the fact of the matter is, people are telling me things. I've heard this, and you're even using the same word. So I think, do people ascribe to a package of beliefs? Is the fact that the person who voted for Trump feels that China and trade agreements are critically important? Is that true? I mean, do people in the community, does your average person in the yeshivish world really think about trade agreements that much? You know, maybe some, maybe their father had a factory that was clobbered by NAFTA, I don't know. But I think to some extent, people are kind of getting their news from certain sources, and they develop a package of beliefs. And a lot's been written about the fact that in the Orthodox world, there's been a definite shift towards the Republican Party. So people are absorbing media, whether it's the New York Post or Fox News or whatever other sources. So they develop an understanding of certain issues. That the fact of the matter is, if you would sit down with a guy at a Shabbos table and say, listen, Chaim, trade agreements, really, really? Yeah, you know, it's an issue for the country, but it's not an issue for me. So my question is, are people developing packages of beliefs that are politically unified? So there's a package, there's a platform, there's a Republican platform, there's a Democratic platform, a liberal.
I think that's definitely true.
Are we kind of absorbing those packages?
Yeah, I think it's definitely true, not only in Jewish circles. Like, for instance, pulling an example out of the hat, just because it's not a very important topic on your survey, but you won't find a pro-life Democrat and you won't find a pro-choice Republican anymore. They don't really exist, because the I think the package kind of comes together as a whole. It's very difficult to find somebody who veers from that if they get their news from one source.
I think they were down to two very left-leaning Republican women senators who expressed feelings about being pro-choice, and they're always up for being removed from office because of that. But you're right, there are lines in the sand, and that's been going on in this country for years, and it's getting worse. But the question is it starting to affect attitudes in the Jewish community as well?
Right. So what do you think this survey tells us about the Jewish community? I guess this is more modern Orthodox Jewish community. I'm not sure how it broke down in terms of sects in Judaism, but what does this survey, do you think, tell us as a whole about the Jewish community?
Well, it was not completely, but mainly modern Orthodox. It tells us that there are issues, of division within the community. You know, my original thesis is, look, let's look at the results. And if there's a difference, let's talk about it. It's an opportunity to get together to learn. If there's a similarity, it's an opportunity for us to get together and advocate. So for example, issues like school education, which were not highly rated issues for both candidates, but the education issues, grades K through 12, that's a specific issue for the Orthodox community, an issue that legislatures like the New York State Legislature have made a lot of advances. There's an opportunity for us to work together. I think I go back to my original thesis that there are big differences, but I don't like to use the term move on, because move on has its own little negative political connotations. But I think we do have an opportunity to come together. And, you know, my hope is that that some organizations will say, look, you, however you voted, that's a given. But for the next few years, we need to continue to push for the things that are important to our community. And, you know, some people criticize AIPAC, but the one thing I would remind people about AIPAC is AIPAC doesn't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. AIPAC cares about only one thing, and that is, Israel is important. We need to support Israel. They'll take you to Israel on a trip that they'll pay for, so you can see the what's going on in the West Bank, in the Galil, in Yehuda and Shomron, and develop connections. I think we need to strengthen the connections. We should talk to, no matter how people voted, we need to talk to each other respectfully. You invite somebody to your, well, I don't know if you can do it now because of the pandemic, but at some point, invite somebody to your Shabbos to have a respectful, everyone talks about how can we have Thanksgiving. And how can you fight with your Uncle Bob? Because he's this and you're that. But you know, I think we have an opportunity. We understand a little bit more now that yes, there are differences, but we all care deeply about the same things. We all care about Israel. We all care about our country. Okay, we all care about Jews being treated with respect. We care about the danger of anti-Semitism. And we need to fight together for the things that are important to us.
All right, Mark, before we let you go, where can people learn more about the survey results and Nishma in general?
Okay, so Nishma, N-I-S-H-M-A, there's no H at the end, nishmaresearch.com. If you go to Nishma Research, you'll easily find this. There's a bunch of screens. They describe what we do. There's one screen that has all of the reports. They're all available free. They're all downloadable. There's a box where you can send me questions. If you send me a question, I guarantee you I will answer. I answer all questions. I appreciate them. The other thing I will say is I've spoken in close to 40 shuls right now in the age of Zoom. I give my talks on Zoom. They're all free. I'm not charging anything. My goal is to share what we learned. We have a bunch of topics about the politics, about the challenges facing the community. Some shuls have said, talk about off the derech. We were interested in that. How do we combat that? So if anyone's interested in having a free Zoom talk, I'd be delighted to hear from you. And it's all out there. Thank you.
Which, by the way, the off the derech survey that Mark is talking about was the topic of a previous episode that we did. It's episode 24. So if you want to check that out, you can do that. Mark, is there any future projects that you want to announce that Nishma is working on right now?
We haven't decided. I have two ideas. One idea is the cost, the expenses of being Orthodox. But then I have another one, which you and I actually talked about 6 weeks ago, and that was health, Jews and health.
All right.
Diet. What does Shabbos and those extra pieces of challah do to our health? Exercise. How do you carve out time to exercise when you have to go to Minyan and Daf Yomi and work and everything? So basically, the whole topic of how do we take care of our bodies, which we have to do. I mean, our God-given bodies. How do we take care of them? So I'm still thinking about that. I appreciate that was your idea, by the way. So thank you.
I'm glad.
If you do that as a project, I will give you credit.
All right, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us again, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
My thanks to Mark Trencher for joining us this week. If you are a fan of polling, you know how much criticism the industry has come under in recent years. However, those are broad national polls that can fall victim to shy respondents and pranksters. I don't believe a survey like this has that same issue, as it is targeted at a very small subset of respondents. Obviously, there are always certain hurdles that come with surveys, but I believe that Mark is on the forefront of expanding the understanding of the Orthodox mindset. For now, we wish well to President Joe Biden. And to him, just as to all of you, Kol Tov.
The Jewish Living Podcast is produced by Sreli Pikus. Our theme song is The Band by A.B. Rottenberg. Follow us on Facebook at The Jewish Living Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Jewish_living. You can also email the show at jewishlivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Jewish Living Podcast is recorded in conjunction with the Queens Jewish Link.